Welcome back to the Nightside. Great to have you with us. Of course, you've been hearing all day. It's an important day. It's Bell Let's Talk Day. And welcome back to the show. One of the best known personalities in Canadian broadcasting. His name is Michael Landsberg. Everyone knows Michael. Sports journalist, current host of TSN's First Up with Landsberg and Koliakovo, and mental health advocate. Michael Landsberg, I'm honored to have you back on the show.
Barb DiGiulio, I am honored that you asked me to come back on the show.
You, I think, are probably one of the first celebrities to speak out about mental health awareness and mental health issues. Remind me when that was, and love to hear your thoughts on how things have changed between then and now.
Okay, I'm taking a deep breath because this is, I'll try to tell this story about how it started as quickly as I can.
It's okay, got time.
If I had 20 minutes, you would be riveted to this story, not because of the way I'm telling it and not because of me, but because of the number of dimensions and the number of lessons to this story. So I started suffering from depression in the late 90s when we started Up the Record, and I had battled through about 10 years. I had never spoken about it on Off the Record because I thought no one would care. To be honest, I thought, they'll just think I'm looking for sympathy. And I'm a guy who people tended to either like or really dislike, and the people who disliked me would go, oh, he just wants us to like him, so he's telling us that. I never thought there would be a value to talking about it, so I never spoke about it. And then in 2009, we had a hockey player on Off the Record, Stéphane Richer, who I had read had suffered from depression in the 1990s. I had just had my worst year of my life with depression and anxiety, and I was doing better. So I thought, I'm going to ask Stéphane how he's doing, but I'll ask him first if that's okay. He said to me, I don't really like talking about it. And I said, okay, well, you know, I get that. I'm glad I asked you because I don't want to put you in a bad position. But if you'll talk about it, I'll talk about it. And he said, well, what would you talk about? And I said, well, you know, this is my story. And I told him, and he said, let's do it. We went on the air, and we talked for 2 minutes tops. And that changed my life. That changed my life because the next day I started seeing reactions to it. And these reactions were not, hey, you know, good story or good talk. Not, you know, hey, Landsberg, you douchebag, you suck. Those were the ones that I was used to. But these emails were like so profoundly different than anything I'd ever experienced. Like, hey, Michael, I'm going to tell you something I've never told another human being. And that is that I suffer from depression, but I've never gone for help because I was too ashamed. But watching you and Stéphane Richer talk about your own battles without feeling like you were embarrassed or ashamed and without seeming weak, I can tell you that. And that changed my life. That was the start of it for me because I realized that I had this thing inside me, which was the worst thing that I've experienced in my life, and I could use it as one of the best. And it's incredibly easy for me. There's no courage needed for me to speak about this. There's nothing except putting all roads of my life together and ending up in this conversation with you, Barb. So it's like somehow I lucked upon this thing, and it's really given me a total different direction in my life.
I was going to ask you if it gave you freedom, but it also sounds like it unlocked a door for a lot of people.
Well, I mean, that's the beauty of sharing, is that your pain is really to somebody else's gain. And that the more you share, the deeper you share, the more you give of yourself, the more someone goes, oh my gosh, I feel understood. And when I go give a speech in the old days before the pandemic, when you could actually be face to face with people, I would hear almost every time someone would come up to me and in a really emotional way say, I feel understood. And that's empowering for people because they don't think anyone else could really understand them. And then I tell them what's gone on in my head, what I've experienced, what this has felt like, and it's exactly the same as what they have felt. At a certain level, all of us with depression feel exactly the same four things, for instance. And when you find out that you're not only not the only one, but you're just like everyone else with this illness, it can be really empowering.
When people come up to you, do they ever ask you, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to start in my dealing with it, and what is the advice you give them?
Oh, that is exactly what I would hear. And you know, I ask questions like, okay, well, have you shared this with somebody in your life? Do you have anyone in your life that would be a really good ear for you to listen to. And if you have that person in your life, but you haven't shared, you need to start that process. Because if you've never shared this with anyone, then you're not going to get better. You need to find a way to be able to share it, because you can't fix it yourself. If you could, you would. But you haven't fixed it, so it's not going away on its own. You know, if you've woken up every day for 3 years feeling miserable, like you would not experience any joy that day, so why would you get out of bed? I can promise you, tomorrow when you wake up, you will feel exactly the same way. So it's about starting this process. And, you know, it's about finding somebody that you can share with. And sadly, not everyone has that person that they can share with. And that really is a roadblock when I say that. And they say, well, you know, I don't have anyone who cares about me that much who I could share with. And that complicates the situation. But it doesn't make it impossible. It's all about accepting your illness. It's about researching your illness so you understand it. And it's about starting the process of getting help, which in general starts with having a family doctor and going to see your family doctor and talking about it.
I'm going to be talking to someone in a few minutes' time with Participaction about the importance of physical activity in mental health. And I know that you are really into fitness. Is that something that's been a part of your, I don't even know what am I saying? Is it recovery? Is it healing? Is it dealing with it?
You know what? Those words are all applicable. You know, I have an illness. My illness is not cured, but my illness is better. So instead of having, at this point, 28 days of bad days in this month, I've had 3 bad days. That's what treatment has done for me. And I have tried a million other things so I didn't have to be on medication, because I don't want to be on meds. But I have never found anything that would allow me to get off the medication without relapsing. So something like exercise, I mean, no one's ever going to say it's a bad thing. And no one is ever going to say, I don't think anyone would ever say, that you shouldn't exercise, or that if you have mild depression, it shouldn't be something that maybe is going to help you. But when you have severe depression and someone tells you, you should go out for a nice run,
right,
that's like saying to someone with Parkinson's disease, you know, you should go out for a nice run. You know, it's gonna help you. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with someone saying, you know, exercise can be really helpful, but it's not a cure for the illness that I had and have today. So, you know, I've gone to Noah's. And I've bought everything that you can imagine that in any way was suggestive of treating depression, from 5-HTP to SAMe to Relora to, like, I don't know, 5-6 different things. And I tried them because I desperately wanted them to help me. But none of them did. And exercise did not help me. And relaxation did not help me. And I went to a course about deep breathing, about how you could calm whatever it is inside you down, and that didn't do any good. For me, the only thing that did good was medication. And I'm not here to be an advocate for medication. I hate being on meds, but I hate the illness more. And what you learn is, this is what I tell people, you need to leave everything on the table. When you are sick enough, you need to be able to say, I will do anything to get better, because nothing in my life right now feels right. And when it's medication, you're going to take the meds, and if you're lucky, it's going to help you like I was, but it's going to come at a price. And if you've been sick enough, that price in general is probably worth it. I dislike my medication intensely, but not nearly as intensely as I hate the illness. I have learned to love the thing that I hate the least, and that for me is medication. And now I'm going to take a breath. Okay.
You good?
Okay.
I can't believe we're out of time. I mean, it's always so great to have you on. We've known each other a long time, and I'm so thrilled that you have been able to help others with just being honest about who you are and what you're going through. And I think that's an amazing role model for a lot of people. So, Michael Landsberg, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Be well.
Michael Landsberg, you're listening to The Night Side.